Last Friday evening, about six cruisers went to Steve DaCosta's house, pulled his wife out of the house and all of his children. There were social workers there, and they took him away. I haven't seen him since. And there was, of course, the charge was abuse, and it's been a heartbreaking experience for that family. You can well understand what they must be going through now. They have not seen their children, and their house has been searched two times. They have no access to seeing their children. I think the law says they're supposed to have a hearing within 24 hours. They did not. There was a hearing yesterday. Went on for about 3 hours. Myself and the school teachers were there. A few other people were there from our church. Governor Thompson came down. He was likewise appalled. There was the start of a hearing. The hearings are held behind closed doors. The lawyer and Steve and Joanne were in there. Nobody else could have access to hear anything that goes on. Those people that go in the hearing, if they say a word about what goes on in that hearing, they could be thrown in jail for a year. And so the agency has their children, and they're in a foster home somewhere where they cannot see them. And I would suppose that the issue has to do with spanking children. Somebody turns them in. The agency told me they call that a referral. They call it a referral, and then they investigate. They didn't ask any of our school people who see those kids every day and could tell whether they were abused. And they didn't ask me, and so forth. So it's been an awful thing for them. The hearing yesterday, none of us got to testify. They said they would continue then the hearing. And there is not a date yet set for the next part of what's called a preliminary hearing. And what usually happens at a preliminary hearing is that they just set a date. The judge hears if there's any evidence at all, and then he sets a date for a judicatory. How's that going? Adjudicatory, thank you. Adjudicatory hearing, which can be some 30 days later. You still don't get to have your children before you're heard. So you can see what kind of a nightmare that is for this family. I preached particularly on that situation last night. I reminded them that that the Sunday sermon that I preached before that happened really was the kind of thing that could prepare someone's heart, though I don't suppose you're prepared when you're standing face to face with the cops. But you remember that I preached that the Lord said, "I have seen, I will requite." And that should give us some confidence, because we remember what Elisha said to the servant when they were surrounded by a great, great army. They had not a chance in the world. And that's how you feel in these things, not a chance in the world. And he said, "Fear not, there's more with us than with them." And if we can, as God's people, exercise faith, that's very important. And the Lord wants our faith. I went on to show how many places in Matthew the Lord stresses that we can see the desire He has for us to believe Him. And you know, it's when we have these tests and we have these trials that we really need to believe Him. I also mentioned that as you get into something this heart-rending, it also illustrates how silly things can get within a church sometimes, how people can get upset about the silliest things. And I illustrated that, you know, here we are as a couple and a whole church brokenhearted over this situation. A couple months ago, people were worrying about whether it was right for my wife to stop my sermon to have a party, you know. And people can make an issue out of something like that. And doesn't that seem like that's the silliest thing to be worrying about in all the world, when there are enemies about us that could do us hurt and these kind of things? You know, we ought to be careful. And this is why I've stated before, every day of our life, we ought to be thankful that we haven't had something like that befall us. And it's so easy in the local church that people will gossip about one another in the local church or something over the silliest, stupidest little things, when there are the most difficult of trials. And sometimes your brethren and your sisters are going through trials. If you're not, you ought to be thanking God for the moments that you have that are good moments, and not letting little things become items to get upset about. But you know, somebody said, what about the kids? Well, you know, I mean, we're a people that we put our kids in the Christian school so they won't be exposed to the ungodly, and then they're out there and they're put in a foster home. Who knows what the foster home is like? And the only answer I have to that is that we've got to trust Almighty God with our children when we don't have them. And He can take care of them. He can, and He will, always do what's best in the long run. The problem with us is we have a tough time controlling our heart and our emotions and everything else in a short run. And I mean, we do, you know. And we'll have, you get in a thing like that, you'll have sleepless nights. And I'll tell you, yesterday I was physically sick over the whole thing. I really was. I was there waiting. We were all standing outside this courtroom, standing with no place to sit up there in the Plymouth court. Guy told me, he says, "Well, we're trying to raise funds so we get a new courtroom, you know." Well, what we need is some new judges. That's what we need. But anyway, I don't want to make that judge too mad at me. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel were taken from Babylon, wrenched from their family. Probably their family was executed. And they were taken from Israel, I think 600 miles away, if I remember right, to a foreign country, to Babylon. Babylon was the most seductive of nations in idolatry. And yet Daniel, as probably a teenager, the word of God said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And less than 70 years later, another government takes over, and Daniel becomes one of the senators. God can take care of his children. Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego were faced with the flames. They said, "O King, our God can deliver us. But if He doesn't deliver us, we're still not going to bow down." And God took care of them. And God's people have to have confidence. We want to run to everybody and see what we can do. And a lot of times we can't just do anything. And you get in a situation like this and you just see the hands tied. Can't do anything. And you turn it over to the Lord, for the Lord to take care of it and do the best for His people in the long run, and trust in Him while it's taking place. I have been praying constantly to the Lord since this happened, that God would miraculously return those children back to their parents before the usual time that would take place. Of course, you know, they in a trial, they could even be removed on a permanent basis. There you have that threat. That's my prayer. I hope you'll join me in my prayer. And until then, until they are returned, you pray that the parents might have the strength and grace to endure during this terribly difficult time. Of course, one of the problems when this kind of thing happens to you is you don't have a chance in a courtroom without a lawyer, because you don't know what's coming next. You don't know what they're doing. You don't even know the language. And so they went and they got a lawyer, and that's going to cost them a bundle of money. A bundle of money. They go up there for a hearing at 9:30. You think that hearing comes off at 9:30? It doesn't come off at 9:30. They're still hearing a whole batch of other cases, and so they got a lawyer with them at much money per hour, and the thing hasn't even started. And then there's a break in the middle for something, and a few other guys go in to be tried for a ticket or who knows what. Well, lawyer's got to be there. His time is valuable, too. So it's a tough trial for this family to go through. They need your prayers. And they need to be uplifted by the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to be uplifted by you. And I trust that you will do that. And so we're going to pray about that in a moment. We got two things to pray about tonight. The other thing's out there, I notice. And Bill has got them started, but we don't have the money. So we got to pray about that too. You got any loans yet? No. Okay. No, don't worry, Butch. I was talking to him. Yeah. we thought we'd try to finish that thing off. So it's going to cost a little bit extra money, and that way it'll get around so you can drive around and drive through. And I told Bill, I said, tell the guy we don't have all the money right now, and so that he doesn't get started under false idea. But we need to pray that we can get a loan or raise the money to finish that thing off. And so I don't think we'll deal with that tonight. But we are looking for a loan, and loans aren't particularly readily available. Perhaps if there are some folks here who might want to make a loan to the church and schedule that we pay it back, that might be one easy way to do it, as long as you don't want to make a fortune on interest. As many times we've had given interest-free loans. But let's pray that the Lord might bring about a solution to that problem, too. We had $7,000 originally, and for what we were going to do was the lowest bid we got on that was $9,000, what we were originally going to do. So it was going to cost us two more thousand, and then to just complete it and go right around was another $3,000. So that's what we're going to shoot for to get that thing done now. We had, I can't remember the exact figure, but we loaned ourselves some money to buy that tractor, and we have $6,000, so we need another $6,000. A $6,000 loan for 3 years wouldn't cost us a whole lot of money if a bank was to give us that, a couple $100 a month, and we could meet that. We could probably meet better. So let's pray about exactly how we can do that, and we'll trust the Lord to take care of that too. We really felt that we should go ahead, and don't get upset about it. I don't want you getting upset about this and getting all out of whack. Why'd they do that? We don't have the money. Well, we thought it was best to do it. And if we don't have the money, I don't get paid. You know? So, that's the way it works. So don't you get upset about it. Let me get upset about it, all right? Because I'm going to be the guy that suffers if we're not able to get the money for this thing. So let's pray and trust the Lord that we can get this whole thing completed. What I'd like to do tonight, I know we usually have prayer requests. I'm not going to take prayer requests tonight because I want to pray for these two items. Now, if you have a prayer request, you pray for it in your group or anything else that, you know, comes into your mind you think we ought to pray for. You pray for it in your group. But let's just spend our time tonight praying about the DaCosta family, that they might get their children back much sooner than the usual case. And let's pray that God might supply the extra money. We've taken a lot of sacrificial offerings, and we don't think it's appropriate now. Probably everybody's out of money, but we can keep taking offerings if you want to put extra in there that is specified for for this. And if you want to loan us $6,000, you know, let me know, and we'll set up something real official with Ken, the accountant, and see to it that you pay. We always paid back our debts before, and we will again, I'm sure. So let's go to our prayer groups, and we have the Lord's Supper set up, and we'll come back for the Lord's Supper. Let's say just a couple minutes before 8 o'clock.